Well, good morning all on this beautiful spring day. Oh, yes, it is beautiful. You can tell I have the little suntan on my face sitting out in front of my house. Even though it was kind of cool out there, but the sun is shining and we're thankful for that because everywhere the sun is shining. S-O-N. That's the kind of sunshine we need. I'm going to ask Mrs. Lear if she would open us in prayer this morning.
Well, Heavenly Father, we present ourselves to you humbly this morning. We thank you for the many blessings that you have given us this past week, all the ways in which you've touched our hearts and homes and lives. Though we in this country and throughout the world are still trying to grapple with the global health situation, we're thankful, Lord, that you have created an environment in which we are able to flourish even in times like these. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. And we look forward to your message to us today. Holy Spirit, be with us as our teacher. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, we want to offer up the sacrifice of praise and worship to the Lord. We give thanks to thee, O Lord, we give thanks. We give thanks to thee, O Lord, we give thanks. For thy name is near, thy wondrous works men declare. We give thanks to thee, O Lord, we give thanks. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth shall I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Now we're going to stop just for a moment. We're going to do something a little different. We know that a lot of people, because of staying in, some people call it quarantine, voluntarily staying in, and most churches across the country have been closed. And by the way, this is not religious persecution, because businesses and schools have been closed as well. It's an ideological situation. It's not an ideal one either, but the situation is, for years we have told people something can happen, any kind of disaster can happen, and maybe you're not going to be able to get into your brick and mortar church, so to speak, that you won't be able to get into a church building, but your living room can be a church. And we have taught this, and people have learned this, and people have followed us throughout the years, even on Facebook and through sermons here that we post, doing the same thing. So today, we're going to do something a little differently. We're actually going to have the Lord's Supper with you, or communion, as some people call it. And so we're going to do that. We're going to take the bread, which in this case is a little cracker, and we're going to eat this together in Jesus' name. Now we're going to take the cup, which of course is symbolic of the blood of Jesus. And if we ever needed the blood of Jesus, We certainly need the blood of Jesus now for our protection, for our healing, for our salvation. And this we drink together in Jesus' name. Amen. And now we're going to continue singing. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His hand. Sing unto the Lord a new song, sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song, sing unto the Lord all the earth. For our God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great and greatly to be praised. The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad, our God reigns. A fire goes before Him and burns up all His enemies. The hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord. The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad, our God reigns. The heavens declare His righteousness, the people see His glory. For You, O Lord, are exalted over all the earth, over all the earth. The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad, our God reigns, our God reigns. And that's a good song for you to remember, for all of us to be reminded of the fact. You think that coronavirus is too difficult for the Lord, that He doesn't know about that? Remember that God is above all things. And so, if you're panicking, stop. You need to pray. If you're afraid, don't be. And I'm not saying be foolish. I'm not saying don't take wise precautions. But I am saying that this is an opportunity in ways that many people have not even thought of. The fact of, okay, you're home with your kids now because they're not going to school. What a great opportunity for you to home educate your children. Most of you probably feel that the government school has not done a good job anyway. Many of the Christian schools haven't done a good job either. So now you have an opportunity to teach your children or your grandchildren at home and teach them the things that you value most, your values. And you can teach them from the Bible. You can sing, you can pray, you can do all those things, keep them engaged. And that will be very important for us to do. We don't know how long this lockup, so to speak, or lockdown is going to be and how long it's going to go. But we can certainly say that during the period of time that we have, let's use it wisely for the things of the Lord. And yes, you can have service at home on Wednesday night instead of going out to church. You can have your Sunday service there in your living room. Now, obviously, you can't bring a whole lot of people in, but you can certainly do that with your your family. And I've always said the basic structure of the church, universal, is the home, is the individuals in the home, because that's where church begins, right at home. And we put too much emphasis on church groups and Sunday school classes and youth groups and to teach our kids when we're supposed to be teaching them ourselves. And this gives us great opportunity to stay safe and stay healthy. Well, this March 22nd, I want to read my quips and quotes throughout the week as I study and I pay attention to things. I've had great opportunity this week to write some prayers. I'm an inspirational prayer person because I believe the Holy Spirit gives me the prayers to pray at a time that I'm called upon to pray. But I've been asked to write some prayers. So I wrote some today and earlier today and yesterday and day before and sent them out to people, and hopefully they've been a comfort to them. So this week in my quips and quotes, Saul Alinsky's book of Marxist tactics, Rules for Radicals, taught that ridicule is man's most potent weapon. And our culture has been carefully reshaped to maximize the effect of that weapon. While we can ridicule, the one that we should be ridiculing is the devil. We should be ridiculing Satan and his minions because we can tell them, we know your days are numbered. We know what happens to you. Regardless of what form the threats to our well-being take, they are temporary and they will pass. Before too long, another enemy will threaten our life, another disease will prey upon our bodies, or some other danger will press upon our minds as though it were larger than life itself. These things aren't said to belittle their impact upon us, rather it's to put them in perspective. They come and they go, mankind is left to move on. God remains sovereign and will use what he will to get our attention. Hey folks, did he get your attention yet? I can certainly say he's gotten my attention over and over again with a lot of things. The present situation certainly is one of them. This is an unquestionable truth, that the body of the people in every country desires sincerely its prosperity. But it is equally unquestionable that they do not possess the discernment and stability necessary for systematic government. To deny that, they are frequently led into the grossest of errors by misinformation and passion would be a flattery which their own good sense must despise. And that was said by Alexander Hamilton in 1788. The great Major General George S. Patton observed, "A good plan violently executed now is better than a perfect plan executed next week." Think about that. You better have a plan. I've been saying this all the way along, and a lot of people laughed at me, and they're not laughing so loudly anymore because they're finding out they needed to have a plan in place, even though it wasn't a perfect plan. It was a plan now instead of a perfect plan later on. Life is about surprise, the unpredictable. If there is anything predictable, it is that unpredictable will always be with us. That's predictable. Like death and taxes, I guess. Dominus. And I'm not talking about Domino's Pizza, by the way. Dominus is Latin for Lord. So when you see that word in a prayer or something, Dominus, it means Latin for the Lord. The principle of spending money to be paid by posterity under the name of funding is but swindling futurity on a large scale. Thomas Jefferson, 1816. I'm sure right now with what's being proposed in buyouts and payouts and all this kind of stuff would be absolutely unthinkable to Thomas Jefferson. Taxes should be continued by annual or biennial reenactments, because a constant hold by the nation of the strings of public purse is a salutary restraint from which an honest government ought not to wish, but a corrupt one to be permitted to be free. Thomas Jefferson, 1813. Now, do you know what semper vigilans fortis paritas et fidelis means, and pro Deo et libertat? It means always vigilant, strong, prepared, and faithful for God and freedom. I like that. I believe that that's a byword for me, and may I suggest that it might be a byword for you as well. And by the way, if you want to know why I post the things I do on Facebook, and may seem random to a lot of people, but basically I'm an inspirational historian. There's a lot that can be posted, but I post those things that are inspirational to us and will be inspired to do the right thing from them. And by the way, I actually was described as truly a gentleman, scholar, and a jolly good fellow. That was actually the byword of the Greek fraternity that I was involved in college. A gentleman, scholar, and a jolly good fellow. I'm not sure what a jolly good fellow is, but I think that'd be nice. We are, heart and soul, friends to the freedom of the press. It is, however, the prostituted companion of liberty, and somehow or other, we know not how, its efficient auxiliary. Fisher Ames, 1807. We can see that the news media has become not trustworthy, obviously swayed one way or the other, and not to be followed. There's no doubt that this is an exceptional challenge, but it can be navigated successfully if you are thoughtful, strategic, and proactive. Thoughtful, strategic, and proactive. I just love using this military kind of terminology. The U.S. Army didn't waste any money on me. Thoughtful, strategic, and proactive. Yeah. A good government implies two things. First, fidelity to the objects of the government. Secondly, a knowledge of the means by which those objects can best be attained. Joseph's story, 1733. And I guess I've been accused of being sarcastic, but I would say that my sarcasm, or my sarcastic way, is a sarcastic eccentricity. I like to do tongue-in-cheek kind of things to get people to think. So it's a sarcastic eccentricity. And of course, the word eccentricity means you're not central. Means you're off-center. Well, I can tell you, I'm off-center on a lot of things, according to the way some people might describe it. But that doesn't mean, as I've often said, maybe I'm a nut, but I'm screwed on the right bolt. Life is 10% what happens to you, and 90% how you react to it. And that, of course, is a great challenge for us today. So turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles, your copy of the Bible, to the 6th chapter of the book of Numbers, which obviously is in the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of the Bible. So Numbers chapter 6, and I'm going to read this to you, just a few short verses. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus shall you bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." Praise God for the reading of his word. That's Numbers chapter 1, verses 22 through 27. Now, if you've ever been in a Jewish synagogue, you may have heard this blessing at the end of the service, the rabbi, Rabboni, may have pronounced that blessing on the people. It's basically an ancient blessing. Now, are we erroneous in thinking that that blessing might be able to be used today? I don't think so. I think that blessing carries forth. Now, I've been teaching a series over the last few weeks called Courageous Preachers. Well, a courageous preacher wants to pronounce blessing on his people. The people that he shepherds, the people that he pastors, he wants to pronounce a blessing on them. Years and years ago, I taught the power of the patriarchal blessing. I taught men, and by the way, you got to be a man to be a patriarch. If you're not a man, you can't be a patriarch. If you're a woman, you can be a matriarch. But you can't be a patriarch. Not in a biblical sense. Not in the way that the Lord established genders. Oh yes, am I gender biased? Absolutely I am. And I believe the two genders that God gave us are male and female. Are they equal? They're equal but different. And so the point here, I taught men to pronounce a patriarchal blessing on their children. Lay hands on your children and bless them in the name of the Lord. And while you're doing that, and I've had the opportunity, my father was not a godly man. He came to know the Lord just before he died through my ministry to him. So I can't say my father ever pronounced a patriarchal blessing on me. But I did have the experience of some of the mentors in my life who stepped in as if they were fathers. And I remember in one particular denomination that I was in at the time, that I was ordained in, one of the general superintendents came up without me asking, without anyone saying anything. He just walked over to me and he took his hands and put them on the sides of my head. And he started to pray over me. And he prayed things that I have to say was really beautiful to hear. And he prayed like a father praying for his son. Oh, Lord, please help my son with his preaching and help him with his strength and help him to reach people and help him to continually to increase his outreach to everyone and all kind of things that he was praying. I mean, part of it was prophesying over me. Part of it was preaching over me. Part of it was that patriarchal blessing. And I had that happen to me numerous times by numerous mentors throughout the years. Some of them were tall men. Some of them were medium-sized men. Some were short men like Handel Price, who was one of my mentors, who was about, I don't know, probably 5'2". But what a powerful man of God. And he pronounced blessing on me and a patriarchal blessing. And so I know how important it is. And you can do this too. Now you say, how could I do it? I don't get the inspiration like that. Well, you can read scripture over your son, over your daughter, and pronounce this blessing just like here. That's why it's here in Scripture, why the Lord recorded it in Scripture, so that for ages to come, you could pronounce that blessing. Now, some people are praying it, and they're saying, I'm pronouncing this blessing on you, my son, and on your sons, and on your daughters, and on their sons and daughters, and their sons and daughters into the 1,000th generation. Well, that's pretty far out there, isn't it? But when you think about it, we, for example, who are Americans, we've had a patriarchal blessing from our founding fathers that has carried forth now for these roughly 250 years. And we hope that it will go into further generations, although right at the moment it looks kind of iffy. But pronouncing that blessing, because as I've said, the people that fought in the American Revolution for freedom, they fought not only for themselves, and they said they were not only fighting for themselves, but they were fighting for their posterity. And so we can look at that and say they were pronouncing a blessing on their posterity. And I do a lot of genealogical research. And it's very touching to me to see all the branches of my family and where they came from. And great-grandfathers and great-grandmothers and all the different parts of the world they came from. And the ones that have been here for 400 years. As of November, 100 years. And I'd like to believe that they were thinking about this, and I had an interesting experience many years ago. I was walking down the driveway at a place where I lived in Northampton, New Hampshire, that my great-grandfather, my mother's grandfather, her paternal grandfather, had bought that place. And I was walking down the road, and I had never met him. He died a few years before I was born. I did meet my great-grandmother, and I'd known her and spent some time with her and so forth. And they were very small people, physically. I mean, they were tiny. They were little munchkins, compared to me, certainly. But I was walking down the driveway, and I had this sense that I could hear his voice saying to me, "I did this for you." I was so comforted by that. I was so touched by that. "I did this for you." Well, think about how you can pronounce that blessing on your children. Now, I'm not saying that by pronouncing the blessing on them, they're going to do what's right. They may not. I'm not saying by pronouncing these blessings into the generations now and into the future that they're going to make the right decisions. They may not. Because they're still going to have to seek out the Lord for themselves. Because that's one thing we cannot pass on to them. We can share our faith with them, but we can't pass our faith on to them. They have to have faith for them, for the Lord, or from the Lord, or with the Lord, and to the Lord themselves. But we can pronounce this blessing on them. And of course, how many people can say that you've received a curse? Your mother cursed you. Your father cursed you. And by the way, when you say to your child, "You dummy, what's the matter with you? You don't know anything?" You've just cursed them. Now, you probably didn't mean to. You were just upset. But if you would say to them, "Okay, what you did was not right. That wasn't a very smart thing to do. You can do better than that." And pray over them. And I can tell you I did that with my own children. Hasn't quite worked out the way I expected, but I know I pronounced that blessing on them and tried to input into them who I saw them in the eyes of the Lord. And it's important that we have people around us. Hopefully you have a wife. I'm blessed to have a wife right now that imparts blessing on me. And I impart blessing upon her. I bless her as my wife, and she blesses me as her husband. Well, we should do this with our children too, and let them know. I mean, how many children hear from their parents, "Oh, you were just an accident. We didn't expect you to come." That's not a good thing to tell your child. You want to pronounce blessing on them, saying, "Well, you came as sort of an unexpected blessing and surprise to us. We didn't expect to have another child, but then the Lord gave us you. And we're blessed." That's something to set into their hearts and into their minds and into their remembrance. Because the enemy is out there, and what does the enemy do? You know that Satan, the one that hates us, he hates the patriarchal blessing. He hates the matriarchal blessing. He hates the blessing of the Lord on his people. He wants to curse us. And that's one of the reasons why I tell people cursing is a bad thing to do. When I say cursing means bad words, using curse words. You know, instead of saying some of the curse words you do, how about raising your hand and saying, "God bless you"? Now, some people might say, "Well, you know, God's not going to bless that person." How do you know that? It's not up to you, but you could say, "God bless you." instead of God hate you or God damn you or some other things like that that people do all the time, say God bless you. And you know, that might be more of a convicting thing and less troublesome than saying some other thing like, you know, as I've often said, don't ever say to anybody, go to hell. If you're going to say anything to them, tell them, go to heaven. Go to heaven. And then tell them how to get there. Tell them the heaven roadmap. So you see, this beautiful passage of Scripture, and we're going to read it through again. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. Now remember when it says, speak to Aaron and his sons. Aaron and his sons, the sons of Aaron were Levi and so forth, and the Levites, they were the priests. They were, we'll call this for convenience sake, they were the pastors of the day. And so the pastors were pronouncing this blessing. If you're a courageous pastor, pronounce blessing on the people and explain to them, if you have the blessing of the Lord, to hold on to the blessing of the Lord, you must live the Lord's way. And don't think you can't live the Lord's way. Even in this wicked world filled with curses, the Lord's blessing is stronger than any one of the enemy's curses. Remember that. The Lord's blessing is stronger than any one of the enemy's curses. And I can certainly say for a fact in my own life, I've been cursed, and I've been cursed by a lot of people. But I've been blessed by a lot of people, and I've been blessed by the Lord. And I recognize that it's He that has blessed me. And I'm thankful for that. And while you're studying with your family, don't forget to read from the book of Psalms. We sang a song from the 91st chapter of the book of Psalms. You might want to pray that as a blessing over your family too, and especially for your younger children that are hearing all these things about the coronavirus and who's going to die and who's going to be sick and all those kind of things. Children can be scared of a lot of things. Well, you need to pronounce the blessing over them and help them not to be afraid. And tell them that it's all right to be afraid. And read that 91st Psalm over them and pray blessing over them, saying, we understand people can be afraid. Even the strongest of people can be afraid. But we pronounce this blessing over you. The blessing that the Lord is pronouncing over our houses, over our homes, over our businesses, over our neighbors, over our neighborhood, and over our country. I pray this blessing in the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord God Almighty, the Son. And we pray this in all strength and power. Amen. And amen.